95.3 The Score is your sports station. Log on and listen live at 95.3thescore.com.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Tannen, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, to go, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Yo! Thursday edition of Sports Talk has arrived. I tell you guys frequently that I'm a believer in the personal hard drive within our heads. And you need to defrag, you need to delete, you need to add files, you need to upgrade. And you get to that time of year where you start, okay, college football, conference, delete, NFL, delete, delete, delete. All right, save that. Keep that around. Got to update it a couple weeks before the draft, and we do have a Super Bowl. And now, oh, want that information, you college basketball, NBA, you get a little closer to the top, start throwing a little PGA golf in there. And it's that week, post-championship Sunday, pre-Super Bowl, where you notice, wow, couple games, and you're into the middle of the Pac-12 or ACC or, you know, either conference play for men and women. USC is in town. Big one. They're all big, especially when you're in the hunt for big things. And when you're a top 15 team who has gotten off to a good conference start. You know, it's all kind of, I don't know if I want to use house of cards, but think about the could go either way. The Arizona game here, the Washington game in Seattle. By the way, this is also very cool. Last week, we here in town were all stoked. Remember, the Oregon women taking on Stanford was an ESPN game on a Thursday, which is traditionally reserved for the men and for the NBA. Tonight, we get, I guess, the original great rivalry with Tennessee and UConn on ESPN. And you have all the big guns out there. Tamika Catchings, one of the greatest Vols of all time. Sue Bird, who we all had an opportunity to see play here when Team USA visited Matthew Knight Arena. And that's the front and center game. And you got not only Rebecca Lobo and Adam Amon calling the game, but the sports siren herself, Holly Rowe, is at courtside. And Maria Taylor is there. So, very cool to shine the spotlight on the women's game. I mentioned USC is in town. USC is the conference leader. They're tied with Stanford, but they beat the Cardinal with that monster comeback, which we were fortunate enough to talk about with their great play-by-play guy, Jordan Moore, earlier this week. So Oregon at 4-2 is in third place. Yes, I could do the math, which, by the way, Stanford's not playing because they've got their rivalry this week, so they just play the one game. They're at Berkeley on Sunday, the 26th. And so, in essence, the winner here, if it's USC, they take the lead. If it's Oregon, it leaves the Cardinal in first all by their lonesome. And, you know, Cal is a team, along with UCLA right now, who, while they're not last in conference, they've got either 500 or sub-500 record. And, yeesh, Cal's last game against UCLA. I don't know if you guys saw that. It's 50 to 40. It's like, did they use the shot clock? But anyway, we'll get into some men's hoops, some NBA mentioned in the first hour. We're sorry to have recommended Chernobyl to that one guy who just seems very disturbed by what he saw. And he committed the cardinal sin. I refuse to watch more than one episode. I'll do binge. If it's a comedy and my wife and I are having a lazy day or night and it's crappy out, I mean, I'll go six deep on a comedy. But Chernobyl, it's like I'm watching this for an hour. I'm going to leave myself at least 90 minutes to, you know, let the dogs out and get it out of my mind so I can sleep. And yeah, I saw Curb Your Enthusiasm. The first episode was, well, he's disturbing too. But anyway, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Discussions. Talk to Giant fans from the motherland. My version is Jersey. We've decided that two debates about Eli Manning. So you can chime in via our various methods. You can call and make your case. Present your case in a courteous manner. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, 284-8571. Text us. 321-0824. Tweet at 953 the score for the station, at Sports Talk 953 for yours truly, for Nick at Rick Nodgers. And because I actually care about this topic and I want to hear from you, something I don't usually do, I'm going to give you my email, stevetannen@live.com. So here is a two-parter. A. Do you, the football fan who pays attention to the NFL, think Eli Manning is a Hall of Fame player? And B, do you think he will end up in Canton as a Hall of Famer? You know, it could be a first ballot guy, a second ballot guy, or he might have to pay his due. And by the way, another thing, I see people on Twitter, they needed a slap emoji. For anybody who says, well, what about Jim Plunkett? Just stop, all right? Just stop. I mean, when you bring up Jim Plunkett in comparison to Eli Manning, what you're saying is I have no idea what I'm talking about. I just talk completely out of my rear end. I'm either a Raiders fan, I'm either old, or I don't know what I'm talking about. And by the way, I don't care if you saw him play. I don't care if you go back to his Stanford days. I don't care if you were a big Pac-8 fan back then. And I don't care that he won two Super Bowls. He was Trent Dilfer, Brad Johnson, and Mark Rippon, but he happened to get a plus one. He never even had a Pro Bowl season. Actually, and this is even worse, he never even played in a Pro Bowl. Because sometimes, you know, the quarterbacks in the playoffs, you know, are like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it, so they take an alternate. Plunkett never really had what you would call a great season. And he certainly was the anti-Eli as far as durability. I mean, even the season he was the quarterback for the Raiders when they won their first Super Bowl, their last one in Oakland, 1980, he started 11 games. And like I said, I am not here calling Eli Manning a lock first ballot Hall of Famer and a great quarterback. The Plunkett comparison is stupid. It has no merit. It has no value. Jim Plunkett was a below-average NFL quarterback who got lucky to be a part of the great Raiders of 80, where there wasn't really a great AFC team. And then the 83 team, of course, with Marcus, and that defense was just fantastic. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take a phone call, bring in Ron. Ron, good afternoon. How's it going?
How you doing, Steve?
All right, what's up?
Okay, I'm from the original motherland of Brooklyn. I got here in 78, so I missed all of the Super Bowls. I had to watch them out here. But I look at some of the things that Eli has done. I believe he's in the top 10 in the NFL, I believe, with touchdowns and yardage. He's an Iron Man. Stupid Bob McAdoo cut him off by taken him out a game. He's never been injured, never missed a game due to injury. And Stephen A. Smith said he won't make it, so I say he will. Your comments?
Yeah, well, he's top. He's actually seventh in career yards and career touchdowns, and a lot of that.
Top 10, but,
a lot of that has to do with durability for sure. But that's part of the deal in the NFL. You know, if you could play all 16 games, you get rewarded for that.
Correct. Right.
All right. By the way, where in Brooklyn?
Bay Ridge. Me and my wife.
All right. I appreciate that, and I appreciate you checking in. Bay Ridge, that was store number 3 when I worked for Kids R Us. Used to have to make that trip from Livingston, New Jersey when it was markdown time. If you'd get together in retail and be like, for kids' clothes, we've got too many of these Oshkosh Bagosh overalls, but Brooklyn doesn't have enough of them. You get together, and I would literally tie boxes to my little station wagon and drive into Brooklyn, deliver them to store number 3. I think I would take the Bay Parkway. And if Ron is still listening, he's like, yeah, that's the way you go. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. You know, I kind of want to get this out of the way, the Antonio Brown story that we mentioned yesterday and now has been, I shouldn't, updated but downgraded, if that makes sense. If you didn't catch it, and I did hear the update guys for CBS Sports Radio talking about it today. So he hires a moving service to get some of his things across the country. He now lives in the 305 in Hollywood, Florida. Didn't want to pay the $4,000 tab. And the guy's like, yeah, that's not how business works. By the way, how much easier would life be if, like, you take a plane trip and you go from Eugene to L.A. and you land and then they try to collect their money? Yeah, no, I don't think so. You're not getting off the plane. So he lost his mind, threw rocks, damaged the truck. Then the cops got involved. They made contact with him. The guy who was driving the truck returned. The deal was he'll pay the $4,000 plus the $900 in damages. He returned. Brown only wanted to pay the $4,000. A fight started. His idiot friends started beating on the driver. He got arrested for 2 felonies. Now they've issued a warrant for Brown's arrest. And let me tell you something. That might be the best thing that's happened to him, because a judge may decide this goes to trial and, dude, you need an evaluation. Because, like I've said, he has a very eerie feel to him. Having grown up around bipolar, it just, I'm like, I know, but, and by the way, I opposite of make light of this. This is really, 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 really serious. And for all we know, he's already done substantial damage to fellow human beings. Remember, there's more than one pending litigation case for sexual assault. But anyone with eyes, you know, you got to form the consensus that right now, I really don't like to go melodramatic. Somebody's going to end up dead. I mean, there are attacks, there are assaults, there are violent crimes, obvious instability, and escalation. Where does it go from here? So from what I read, he's kind of holed up in his home, and I don't know if they're going to execute a warrant, and you wonder how that's going to go. Hollywood PD, I mean, is he armed? Is he that dangerous? Because it's a bad, bad situation. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Oh, yeah, somebody. See, you guys, sometimes your texts, good input, but you guys are also the chief reminders. The did you hear? So the, yeah, well, you know, if you don't even listen to the show. When was the last time you listened to the show? May?
Yesterday, actually, when I was correcting you and providing good information.
That's right. You had two good contributions in one day. So you're covered till like Valentine's
Day. Basically.
So,
hey, Steve, did you hear about the thing you're going to talk about? You should talk about it. There, I did my job.
So my answer is yes, and I'm going to explain why. The McDonald's All-American Games have released their roster of men and women. And, you know, traditionally, well, first of all, you have one of the players, Haley Van Lith out of Washington, is undecided, hasn't committed. Otherwise, you've got Oregon State, Sasha Goforth. Wait a minute. That's a cool name. Sasha, go forth. Become a McDonald's All-American. Go play for Coach Ruick at Oregon State.
Your name was just turned into a verb.
You can't not love that. And then I'm trying to see if anybody's got more than one. Stanford. Oh, the Cuse have two. One from an academy in Tennessee. One from Missouri. Ole Miss, South Carolina, Maryland. You know, it's kind of strange here. Two from UConn. Usually they got them all. Paige Buechers from Minnesota and Mir McLean from Maryland. Five from Oregon. Five Oregon commits. We talked about it. They're five stars. They're also now McDonald's All-Americans. Angela Dugalic, I think it was, from Illinois. Tahina Palpo from La Jolla Country Day in SoCal. Sydney Parrish from Indiana. And Maddie Scher from Larry Ryle High in Kentucky. And Kylie Watson from Mainland High School, New Jersey. If I remember correctly, it's that part of New Jersey where we're very snobby there down south. But we're going to forgive her because she became a Duck. And two bigs, 1'6", 4", 1'6", 3", a couple of guards. And, yeah, when you consider the queen herself, Sabrina Ionescu, is leaving, as is the incredible pickup in Mignon Moore. You know, obviously you got Chavez coming back, and both Winterburn and Jazz Shelley could handle guard. But five McDonald's All-Americans.
Is Sabrina's nickname the GOAT or the Queen?
I don't know. I don't think she's got a nickname. I think she has multiple reference points.
Yeah, she has titles, right?
So, so that would be the Queen.
Yeah, so is her title the Queen? Is her title the GOAT? Like, when they retire her number, are they going to put all of her accolades on it, and it's just going to hang from the top of Matt Knight Arena and roll almost down to the court? Because there's a lot of things you could put on there.
I have a theory.
GOAT or Queen?
She's the triple-double Queen, and as far as an all-around player, she's the GOAT. Because I get that a lot, because she's been referred to in neutral articles, not written by locals, about she's the triple-double Queen because she holds the record in both the men's and women's game.
Yeah, because I was corrected by Rob Mosley on Twitter, because I called the Duck the King, and I posted a tweet during the women's game. He laid down on I don't know, you probably didn't notice it. The Duck laid down on the table of press row in front of us and was just chilling out, and he did a little wave. I took a picture, and I captioned it the King and his Kingdom, and I was corrected by Rob Mosley. He's like, when did you take a title away from Sabrina Ionescu? Like, I'm pretty sure.
The King as well?
Yeah, well, no, but I mean, if someone is the King, I guess you could also have a queen, but then you're kind of saying that the king would rule. It's Sabrina Ionescu's kingdom. I should have captioned it the other way, but I think queen and goat. There can only be one.
We just got off Twitter from the magnificent Rachel Nichols. The NBA starters have been named. LeBron is El Capitan in the West. Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, Luka Doncic,
never go against the family.
And James Harden. By the way, that's a pretty good team. Just looking at that. They're going to score 16,000 points in the first quarter.
I can't wait to bet the under of an NBA All-Star game. How fun is that going to be?
It usually goes like, remember last year? Was it 300 last year? Was it like 301?
The total or the betting line?
Yeah, no, the over-under. Oh, no, it's nuts. The East has Giannis, the Greek Freak, Embiid, Pascal Siakam, Kemba Walker, Trae Young, and now, by the way, right there, the West has got to be about a 17-point chalk. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Pat. Pat, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, Steve, how are you doing?
All right, what's up?
Well, I just heard you guys talking about Enescu and the greatest of all time and banners, and there was a thing on Facebook where somebody posted about that they should bring a bronze statue of Sabrina out in front of, you know, Matthew Knight Arena, you know, here after she leaves school. And I love Sabrina. She is, without a doubt, probably a one-in-a-lifetime kind of player. But the same time is that you look at a Bev Smith, who I will tell you, because I actually played against Bev Smith when she was in her heyday. I got to run up down the court at Mac Court with her a few times.
And you survived?
Yeah. And, I mean, the you know, she was a basketball player. She could play against the boys. She could beat the boys. And I can tell you, she checked my shot, and I was 6'1". She was 6'1". She could check my shot. And I wasn't, you know, I wasn't maybe world-class basketball player, but I could play some hoops. And she could, you know, she could play.
No, there's a reason that despite the fact the game has changed so much and opened up so much, that people like Bev and Allison Lang still have a lot of records because they were that good.
Yeah, and that's the case. And the same thing can be said of Ron Lee. Ron Lee's impact on Oregon basketball in the 70s, and, you know, what bothers me is that Ron's still here. He came back here locally. I got a chance to get to know Ron again. He coached a AAU girls team I had a couple years back. And, you know, Ron is just good people, but Ron Lee was something that he was a once-in-a-lifetime player. There's no duck since him that comes close to him as a basketball player. And if you saw him play, you talk to people my age and saw him play, he was Sabrina in the 70s.
No,
he was a Pied Piper.
I saw him play as an NBA player.
And he was a fab, and you know, and when he went to the NBA, I mean, he was a good player. He was maybe not, you know, an all-star each year or anything, but he was a solid player. But what he did, and when I'm talking about, when they start talking about these awards and putting out bronze statues out there, well, you know, Ron Lee needs one too. And so does Bev Smith, okay? And that is nothing, this is not knocking Sabrina, because I love Sabrina.
Who's going to pay for all these statues, Pat?
Well, I'm just saying, well, yeah, exactly. But my point is that when we talk about players, and then we should also talk about, you know, she is what she is, and she is a fantastic player, but there are people also that need some recognition, too, as far as I'm concerned. And this is coming from somebody that's 65, soon to be 66 years old. But I've lived here my entire life. I have followed Oregon sports, you know, women, men basketball, softball, football, you know. So I kind of have a clue about this a little bit. And I feel like that there's, like, people younger than me. Nick, it's not a jab at you. But, you know, that don't know those people and don't know the importance of those people that have the impact on, you know, Oregon basketball. So, anyway, just my two cents to call.
I appreciate the call, Pat. There's also one thing beyond the time factor, and when Ronnie Lee was playing here, he had one flaw that was not of his design. It was called UCLA. And, you know, UCLA won the conference every year, and because of that, the Ducks never got to experience the NCAA tournament. I mean, you know, you look at 73, Walton's gang. 74, Walton's gang. 75, Steve Patterson, and they won it. But Ronnie Lee, it's really important. I looked at his numbers not that long ago. And remember, he was back very early because, remember, Kareem, no. Walton, no. As far as playing as a freshman, I think Ronnie Lee was either the first or second class that were eligible to play as freshman. And every year he averaged between 18 and 18.7 points per game, I think. He never averaged 20, he never averaged 19, he never averaged 17. He averaged 18 and change a game. He was also a guy who would get you 5-6 rebounds, 5-6 assists. They didn't need to mop the floor after him because his uniform cleaned it up. And there was no three-point rule back then. So you would imagine a guard like that would have probably been in the mid-20s scoring-wise. And another thing that Bev and Ronnie Lee don't have, like I said, is that tournament resume. You know, Sabrina will be treated better historically, fair or not, because they'll be like Elite Eight, Final Four, and that means a lot. That gets you the national recognition, and that's a reason that we now are going to learn the name of five McDonald's All-Americans, because Oregon women's basketball has gone national in a big way. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Time for one more call before a break. Welcome in. Ed, good afternoon. Thanks for calling. How's it going?
It's going fine. I'm another one of those almost 65-year-old guys, and I do agree some of those old players. In fact, I was thinking Gary Payton was another one of those once-in-a-lifetime players had a chance to see, because I live here in Corvallis.
Right. Well, Conley also
outstanding.
Also,
but I will say that championship thing is the distinction. What Sabrina is doing in leading this team to the potential of the NCAA tourney records, and plus she's going to have 2,500 points, 1,000 rebounds, and 1,000 assists. Nobody, men or women,
right,
have ever done that. It's beyond what she's doing. Is beyond and Bev Smith. I loved her. I loved watching her, and she was fantastic. But I think you have to make a distinction between what we're seeing with Sabrina.
No, and also the one thing with Peyton is he was a National Player of the Year.
He was
great NBA career, and he's a Hall of Famer. So you know,
right,
he didn't miss out on the recognition department.
No, and Ron Lee was great, and Bev Smith were great, and those probably were the two best goats, you know, until these players were getting. Peyton Pritchard, though, depending on what he does, he's showing up a lot of people, too. We can't forget how well he's doing this year.
No, good contribution, Ed. Much appreciate the phone call. All right, that brings us near break time. Now, you know what? Let's take a break. We'll be back with more Sports Talk 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Guaranty RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top five RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Guaranty.com.
Listen, I think everyone can see the moments that Eli Manning put together when you beat, you know, the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl, and you're the Super Bowl MVP. You know, that's he's never missed a game. I mean, think about that. That's incredible. You play in New York City, you're going to get the spotlight, so there's no denying he's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. That's Damian Woody on Eli Manning's Canton worthiness. Is that a thing? Did I just make a thing up? We mentioned the
Hall of Fame value.
Yeah.
Prospectuses.
The prospectus is, as we welcome you back to a Sports Talk. So I'll mention this, then we'll get to it in a little bit. But with the announcement regarding the starters for the NBA All-Star Game and Luka Doncic getting the nod for Dallas, the, you know, where we sit, a lot of Blazer fans want to know about the worthiness of Damian Lillard, who is a worthy contender. He's a fantastic player. He's the heart and soul of the franchise. He scores like a beast. He's having his top scoring season ever at about 28. And, you know, he runs the show. He's also upped his assist total to a career high near 8. His rebounding, you know, for a guard, he rebounds well. Doncic is a revolutionary player right now. If you, I hate to say it, and you know, obviously he's given away 9 years, but if you were starting a franchise, you'd no-brainer start with Doncic. If you had to win a game now, you might take him. I mean, he's almost averaging a triple-double at near 30 points. And let's face it, Lillard, at his size, can actually be a liability defensively. With his size, his footwork, and his strength, Doncic, and at his age, in his second year, he's already a better defensive player than they were last year. The Blazers are a terrible defensive team. Who's kidding? Who? All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take a phone call, bring in John. John, good afternoon. How's it going?
Going good, Steve. Yeah, putting things in perspective, I've been avid Duck fan for a little over 60 years, I would say, since I'm 71 years old.
Okay.
But saw Ronnie Lee play in person many, many, many times, virtually every game. I'd just gotten out of the service and was able to literally see all of his games at home and as many as were televised. He truly was an exceptional basketball player, but also an exceptional athlete. He was a tremendous goalie in soccer, could have pursued that as a career. He was drafted by the San Diego Chargers as a defensive back, just because they'd seen him on the basketball court, I guess. But he truly was 6'3", 200, just a great player. Shooting was never his real long suit, but he made a go of it. But he did everything else so well. And playing alongside him for three of his 4 years was Greg Ballard. And I would put those two on my all-time Duck team starters. There's two out of five right there, and then you can fill in the other three. And, of course, we've had some great guys. And Peyton now has got to be considered, you know, one of the top 10 or 15 Ducks we've ever had. But anyway, just thought I'd put that. Ronnie Lee truly was an exceptional athlete. It'd be neat if they still had films and people could see what he did. Like you said, he was very consistent with his scoring average. And I think you'd probably find his assists were comparable, his rebounds were comparable.
Oh, yeah.
Just from the very moment he got here, from the very moment he took the court, the very first game, he was the best player the Ducks had for 4 years.
No, good input. And appreciate the call, John. The one thing that always gets me about Ronnie Lee is when his name comes up and some of you start contacting us through the various methods, whether it's a phone call, whether you text at us or tweet at us, there's always that enthusiasm and passion and love for a guy. For example, if somebody who had no idea and just happened to be passing through town and maybe wasn't even that big of a sports fan, like if they heard John, if they heard Pat, they heard some of our other callers over the years talk about Ronnie Lee, you'd think he just left 2 years ago for the NBA. Because it's always like, great player, the problem with Ronnie Lee historically outside of the conference, the area, the Willamette Valley, is nobody ever saw him play because they peaked at the NIT because there was only one bid up for grabs for each conference that back then, and it was always UCLA. I mean, like I said, I didn't move out here until just after UNLV rolled Duke in the 1990 championship game. And if not for the fact that that previous December, Oregon football made their first bowl at the time in more than a quarter century, I could have actually said, I'm as big a sports fan as exists. I've been following sports since the early 70s. I've never seen an Oregon football or basketball game. And, you know, I lived in the media capital of America. That wasn't on because they, A, weren't good enough, B, weren't on national TV, and they were just a regional story when they had success. The only Oregon athletes I had seen play, you know, obviously Dan Fouts in the NFL, and, you know, when Greg Ballard was on the championship Bullets in 78, to be perfectly honest, the Oregon athlete I was most familiar with was Prefontaine. Just knew his name. I lived right behind the high school and actually ran cross country. And first of all, he had a cool name, Steve Prefontaine. I was like, who's that guy? Oh, and you know, you'd hear the stories. And of course, when you don't know, you don't know. I used to picture Oregon as like this place with nothing but trees and log cabins when I was a little kid.
Not that far off.
In 1972, 3, 4, and 5.
Just like a couple more non-log cabin buildings than there are log cabin buildings.
Well, I'll tell you what. Hiding. Some of the great stuff you see from the history files is when you'll see like an overhead shot of the campus through the 60s, 70s, especially pre like 1965 before they built Autzen. I mean, you're like, compared to what it's like now it looks like a major city. Then it looked like Chernobyl in 1987. It was barren.
I saw a picture from Oregon softball camp practice that was like looking back through like the left center field gap or something like that, where New Hayward Field is being built up, and it looks like a spaceship is slowly landing. Like the thought of like when Hayward Field was there, you're like, wow, that's so historic. That's kind of cool. Like there's this big thing out there, but now there's just going to be a gigantic spaceship that's landed out there. That's going to be, you know, the backdrop of the softball stadium, which is new and beautiful as well. Like so much stuff is changing and progressing and moving. Matt Knight Arena is the same way. I'll still catch myself coming off the freeway driving down. It's like, oh yeah, the Matt Knight Arena is right there. It looks like a spaceship.
Well, there's the HDC, there's Jane Sanders, there's Hayward Field, there's Autzen Stadium, Matthew Knight Arena.
Autzen Stadium is like the classic
baseball park.
PK, yeah. Like, Autzen Stadium is like your classic, like, old school, like, this is the thing that's going to bring everybody together. Like, this is the one old building that was like, and Autzen Stadium was the first thing that came into the University of Oregon, and everything else was built around it, newer and better. It's like, and Autzen's just there.
You know,
like,
the practice facilities.
Hall. Right, yeah.
Although, some years back, I think it was pre-HDC, and I had Jorgie on the show, and he talked about they used to practice across the street from Autzen. And he's like, you know, we weren't very good. We were very cautious about crossing the street because some people might have wanted to take aim at us. And I remember I was laughing so hard, I almost couldn't finish the interview. Here's a thought with a couple of callers and a couple of texters talking about, you know, if you had to erect a bronze statue for an Oregon athlete. So let's just say we'll freeze everything now and no one comes along in the next 4 years. Let's let an entire class pass. And, you know, this isn't a wish. Just nobody is what you would consider the equal to the names I'm going to bring up. Okay, 4 years from now.
Well, I guess you don't even have to say, like, you don't have to wish that nobody better comes
along.
Say Oregon is going to build the statue for an athlete, and the athlete had to have played here before 2020.
All right.
Let's have 2020 as the decade.
4 years from now, if Oregon fans were polled, who would get the statue? Would it be Mariota? Because as much as we love Sabrina, I'm sorry, football is football around here.
Marcus does have the Marcus Mariota Sports Complex, which is kind of a big
thing. Okay, that's in consideration.
It's a big thing. It would be a toss-up between, I think, Marcus, Joey, and Sabrina. And I think
those were the three I was thinking. I think it's that obvious.
Right. And considering the only other statue that Oregon's like put up on campus anywhere of anything to do with like the university recently is the Duck, who I think if somebody was like,
I vote for the Duck.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like people would like the top four vote getters would be Marcus, Joey, Sabrina, and the Duck. Like if there's a Mount Rushmore of Oregon figures over the years, I think it would be those four.
We've changed it in the last 5 years to include the Duck.
Right.
Oh, somebody said Ashton Eaton. And another one for Ashton Eaton. I mean, you know, we are in Tracktown, USA. So, yeah. I'll tell you what, that would be a hell of a vote. If there was a sponsor for that in 4 years, you would see a lot of passion and a lot of that. The best part of it, I would like to have a panel debate it. By the way, 4 years from now, on this show, July 1st, to kick off the summer, the debate, who gets the statue, I'm hosting.
Do I have to put this on a sticky note?
Yes.
Do we have to start like working with the sales team?
If I'm here July 1st, 2024, we're going to have bigger issues. Somebody goes, the statue has to be Haloti Ngata actual size. Let's get to the Oregon fuel injection
hotline. Not enough bronze in the world for that.
Nope. We're going to have to start mining Russia or something like this. Let's get to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline and bring in Fred. Fred, good afternoon. How's it going?
So at the table here, can you put a poll out on, we'll all start voting on it. Let's get something going here, grassroots.
Yeah, the problem is there's too much emotion right now, and you know that wave benefits Sabrina. I want to let time pass before you know, people make a decision, because it can't be a heart. It has to include the head.
Do you guys hear that? We got time for another round. Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
Take it easy. All right, before we break, Big shout out to our friends at Big Al State Farm, conveniently located on Cal Young next to Dairy Mart. Actually met with Al today, had a fun conversation. We're going to start featuring the trivia questions again for a chance for you guys to all win prize. But between now and tomorrow, until then, call them for a quote. Do like Kathy and I did more than seven, almost 8 years ago now. Compare and save all our rigs through State Farm Insured. Our homeowners insurance insured through State Farm. And if you're not already one of the 1 in 4 drivers in Eugene with State Farm, now's the time to get the quote with rates coming down. Dial them up 686-1522 or stop on in. Say hello to their smiling faces on Cal Young right next to the Dairy Mart. Big Al State Farm here to help life go right. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Take a break, come back, wrap up Sports Talk, the 4 o'clock hour next, 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk, sponsored in part by Guarantee RV Supercenters, the first and only RV dealership to offer service 7 days a week. Big city selection and country savings. Visit them online at Guarantee.com.
The bigs are scoring inside, rebounding really well. Matthews has always been a problem for us, shooting it well. So, no, they're experienced, and you know, with three senior starters, and then the freshmen are awfully talented.
Well, hello there. Thursday. And by the way, it's going to be quite the atmosphere the next couple nights here in town at Matthew Knight Arena. Ducks and Trojans in a big one. Share of the conference lead. Keep on the heels of Stanford, who has next couple days off until they play their rivalry game at Berkeley against Cal this weekend. And then tomorrow, Matthew Knight Arena is already sold out. By the way, I thought the capacity was flat on a symmetric 12,500. I don't think it is. I think it's some 12,212 or something like that. But anyway, that's, you're going to see that. Slotskill Coliseum to the north, also going to be sold out for Sunday's game. Then UCLA comes to town on Sunday again. So the men, women, then at the same time, I mean, you're talking about 45,000 people are going to be watching the Oregon basketball teams between now and Sunday.
12,364.
All right. Nice round number.
1, 2, 3, 6, 4. I feel like it should have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, that wasn't symmetric enough.
Ends with a 5 is good.
How could we do that? Could we go in?
We'd have to take out seats. Bring,
I just say, bring a wrench and a ratchet set.
Yeah. Oh boy.
And a disguise, because we'll go to jail. A
couple disguises, because now people are going to know it's us anyway, so we're going to need people that look like us to be our alibis for when they're doing the thing. Ooh, there's too many layers.
We're putting way too much thought into this.
Yeah, that's my fault.
So, one of the deals is, if you've been focused on football, understandable, or just your team or your job or your life, well, that's kind of why we're here. The Pac-12 standings, I mentioned, are really tight, and the 8 o'clock tip tonight for Matthew Knight Arena, our pregame starts at 7, and then, of course, we'll have Joey Max half-hour pregame where he talks to the coach and the call of the action right here. If you're looking for the game on TV, it's ESPNU, and we get our buddy, one of the best in the business, Roxy Bernstein. And I was looking at the game notes, and I'm like, whoa, Adrian Branch is the color analyst. And I'm like, wait, do the math. Yes! First of all, he was a terrific player himself. He played all 4 years, early 80s, for Lefty Driesell at Maryland. And I should trust myself, because I know when I know. But he was a year ahead of Lenny Bias, the late, great Terp. And so he was a sophomore. Bias was a freshman. And they made the big dance then again as a junior. And when Branch was a senior in 85. I mean, I remember distinctly that the Terps were very highly touted. A lot of people were starting to talk up Bias, who would be arguably the best player in the country the next year. And they won the first two games. And 85 is legendary for a lot of reasons. A, it was the first time they expanded the field to include four brackets of 16 teams. It was after they had changed it, before the conferences expanded and changed and danced around, and they decided to have that, you know, first four. But with their luck in Game 3, who they run into, 1985, Villanova, Cinderella. And I went and looked back at the box score of that game, and the Wildcats put the glove on Bias and beat the Terps 46-43. But he and the great Lenny Bias were a killer 1-2 punch. I'm not sure if they both averaged 20 a game, but it was close. They're both 6'7", 6'8", good athletes. And it was the only time I ever got to visit Cole Fieldhouse on the campus of Maryland, because if I remember the details, my buddy who went to Maryland was supposed to have his parents pick him up. His mom got ill, so we wound up driving down there and left in the morning, in like 2 days before Christmas, and he got tickets. And, you know, it was a very traditional, very cool, very unique atmosphere on campus. It was a hellhole for visitors. And by the way, I always run into the same problem. Whenever I look up Maryland basketball, because I usually don't look up football, why would you? And Nebraska football, because why would you look up Nebraska basketball? I always go to the conference site, and I still am trained for Maryland to go to the ACC site. And with Nebraska, I still go to the Big 12 site. It just, it still doesn't make sense to me that those programs switched conferences. But nobody checked in with me. But anyway, Maryland basketball, not in the ACC, is a crime against sports humanity. I honestly don't care what anybody says. It's what I believe, and I happen to be right. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You can also hit us up via the text line, 321-0824. Try us on Twitter at 953thescore for the station. For yours truly at Sports Talk 953. For Nick, it is at Rick Nodgers. Remember, we're just getting started. We've got a lot to get to tonight. We've got basketball live. We got our pregame. We still have the 5 o'clock hour. And it's all coming at you next. 95.3, the score.
I am depressed.